EF United, the premier Cold Fusion Conference by TerraTech Programming. Created by developers for developers.
Musician, or professional musician maybe, of sorts. I think that looks like Shlomi Gantz hiding behind Jeff, from my point of view. And what are you an expert on, Shlomi? I don't know. Bug control, testing, project management, Cold Fusion, all kinds of things. It's a Java tag library with about 250 tags, you know, and a few other things. And the moderator for our panel will be Simon Horwitt from About Web, who he's also the editor of CFDJ magazine. So, and when I've stopped introducing this, I'll go on the panel too. So, one other thing I wanted to share with you, I don't know how many of you got our newsletter this morning. If you didn't get it, I will point out that we have a new session this evening at 7 o'clock. There's a Birds of Feather session covering Cold Spring's AOP framework, aspect-orientated programming in Cold Fusion. So if you're interested in that, it'll be in this room at 7 o'clock. And that's not on the schedule. That's an addition. And the other thing is, for the things we're raffling off here, you need to have handed in your surveys and sponsor cards. So we've got some boxes here for those. So if you haven't handed them in, here's your chance to do that. But you've got about half an hour for that. Okay, well, Simon, why don't you take things away?
You guys hit my mic? Am I on? Oh, yep, I'm on. Cool. That one working? Should be. All right, everybody have a good time at the conference? Yeah? Excellent. I'm going to wander around behind you guys. No, that's terrific. This has been a great show. How many of you guys are going to be here tomorrow? You all? Wow, a lot of you. Excellent. Very good. All right, so, we do this every year, the panel, and so what I'm going to do is actually just take a lot of questions from the audience. Whatever you guys want to ask the panel, I'll just kind of pick and choose what makes sense to really talk about and, you know, might throw in my two cents as well. I do want to start by going ahead and asking one question myself for the panel, just because I just be interested to hear what you guys have to say, which is, okay, you know, we had the Flex 2 announcement. We saw Cold Fusion 7.02, you know, and the features that are there. Got a little sneak peek at Scorpio, at CF8. Very cool stuff. You guys on the panel, what would you like to see most in Cold Fusion 8? Forgetting the stuff we've already seen. I mean, just what are you hoping you get to see in terms of a feature in 8? You got the handhold mic? You should be okay now, right?
Hello.
Or not.
This is my serious voice.
Yeah. Problems?
It is on, by the way.
That's right, Ray. Okay, ready to de-mic myself. All right, well, I'll tell you what. While we're figuring that thing out, here you go.
Sorry about that. some of the things I've been asking for a while, recently came in 7, you know, the on-session start, on-session in, knowing when the session ends. More on that, maybe something that runs when the server starts, when the server ends. More knowledge about what's going on, the internals, what sessions are running, what applications are running, how much RAM they're taking. Just, I guess, more knowledge about what's going in. At the language level, I mean, I hate to say, oh, it's perfect. but there's just not really much there left that I really want. Of course, tomorrow I'll think, oh, I should ask for so-and-so. But I guess yeah, just more, you know, I could write Cold Fusion, but I need some help knowing when my code is running good or bad.
Okay. Simon gets the other one back, and we're on. Yeah, I don't have a whole lot to add to what Ray said. You know, I'm kind of known as a tools sort of guy, and so for me, that kind of internal information is really vital stuff. So I think that's a great direction to head. What do I want in the language? I'm not a very visionary kind of guy, so it's like, you know, what do we need in the language? I don't know. Shlomi, you got anything to...
Big wish list.
I think there's a couple of things on my wish list that a lot of corporations would like. One of the main things really being security and sort of a more structured way of handling security, where a lot of corporations simply try to figure out how they would handle security in Cold Fusion, maybe something from Adobe that tells us, okay, these are a set of tags that help you secure your applications would be very, very helpful. And of course, continuing on integration with anything that's out there. Any new tool, any new buzzword, Cold Fusion should be able to seamlessly integrate with it. In the past, we had Calm, Java, Corba, etc. And I think that Adobe needs to continue with that trend of integrating with simply anything any other programmer wrote.
Well, the one thing I really miss from one of the earlier versions of Cold Fusion is being able to debug. And I know there's now a third-party solution for that, but I'd really like to see debugging back in the Cold Fusion language straight out of the box.
I agree with you on that one.
Yeah, via the you know, either Cold Fusion Studio, if that still could be resuscitated, or CF Eclipse.
Yeah.
And yeah. I don't know if it's technically possible to do this, but I've always found debugging scheduled tasks to be a real pain in the backside. So if there could be some way to do that, because I can never tell exactly whether they're fired correctly or not, and it's really trial and error on that.
Before we go to the audience, I'll tell you just my I have a big laundry list of stuff I want to see. Things I'm really hoping to see. I'd love to see interfaces. All right, from an architect's point of view, that would be very, very useful. I think things that clients would go nuts over would be things like making it very easy to do pod layouts. You know, it's a common thing, people doing that a lot. I think support for RSS being native, formats like that are becoming, you know, really widely used standards would be really cool to see. And I'd also love to have a much smarter IDE. I'd love to have introspection. So I create an object, and then I type in that variable name dot, and it shows me my methods. Things like that that you have in all the other languages would be very, very nice to have in Cold Fusion. I think that'd be very cool. I got a list of about 50 other things. But anyway, those are some of the ones at the top of my list. Who has a question for the panel? Somebody's got a question. I know. All right. What's your question? I'll repeat it. I can hear you, I'm sure.
This year we've seen a lot of podcasts and user groups starting to record through Breeze. Do you see the future of that, or what's going to happen coming up with that?
All right, so we've seen podcasts becoming popular. User groups are starting to Breeze. Do you guys think this is good or bad? Well, I know you don't think it's bad, but... where do you think this is going? I mean, are we going to start having, you know, is it all going to be video casting? Or is it, I mean, where do you think this is going to go?
Well, I think this whole blogging thing may take off, maybe.
You think?
So, I mean, I think that's kind of covering a few different areas. You know, Breeze, I think it's excellent. I mean, it's still, maybe just 2 or 3 years old. So it's not like a really old product, but... I know when it came out, it really like blew away like WebEx or, I don't know, whatever else was out there, it sucked compared to Breeze. And that was 1.0. And, you know, it's not perfect, but, you know, right now I'm taking a class via Breeze. It's 4 hours every Friday. And the entire class is all across the country. And the instructor is somewhere else. And not having to fly in, not having to take a whole week off is wonderful. I think Max last year, they showed a tutor who used the Breeze API to make it so he could teach geometry easily. So he modded the API so he could draw triangles and stuff, which you know helps teach geometry. And that's just amazing. I think it's kind of what we envision the future to be, using the net to really actually help people instead of play games and download pictures of anyway. Nothing that I've seen. I think Breeze is great. I think it's great for the user groups. I think it's great to reach out, and I think podcasting is just one more way of doing that as well. It's all good.
Yeah, I think I'll kind of pick up on the podcasting side of things for maybe obvious reasons. How many of you listen to Helms and Peters Out Loud? Cool. The rest of you should as soon as you get home. Hal Helms and I decided last fall to start doing this podcasting kind of thing. And what we didn't realize is that we've really sort of been doing it offline in a way for a couple of years now. At this conference 2 years ago, we distributed an audio CD called Helms and Peters Flip Out. And it was just a bunch of MP3 tracks on the Fusebox lifecycle process, just some simple thoughts that Hal and I sat down one day and talked out and recorded it for benefit of anybody who wanted to waste their time listening to it. The following year, we followed it up with another set of MP3s that we distributed online, but weren't doing the whole podcasting sort of thing. We just put MP3s up for download. Subsequent to that, Hal got addicted to podcasts. And so, and he really is almost like those folks that are rabid readers of newspapers. Hal's now a rabid listener of podcasts of all varieties. And so that was a natural evolution for us, is to just start doing this weekly audio session that's essentially just the two of us musing over things that we think about in the course of our work and giving everybody a chance to listen in if they want to. The thing that blows my mind about it is that our total investment in the whole process has just been really for a couple of good microphones. That with a little bit of support from our friends at CF Dynamics that host our site, the whole thing is just a piece of cake for us every week to put that information in your hands at a total cost of some time on our part. And I think that really represents the sea change in things, both with Breeze-based stuff and podcasting. It gives us the ability to do so much that we weren't able to do for such a small investment. So it's really extraordinary.
I think I want to touch, again, going back to the user groups. We at the New York Cold Fusion User Group found this to be very valuable. We had people from Europe log in to our presentations, and it really even, I think most of the people who actually log in are from New York. And when you work at a corporate job, 9 to 5, sometimes you actually want to go home to your kids. You don't want to go to a user group, even if there's pizza and beer, et cetera. And it gives them an opportunity to listen in, to even listen in at their own leisure. And I think it's great. There's another set of tools that we use, also Captivate and RoboHelp, really, really helped sort of bundle everything together so that we can leave recordings of what actually went on the screen of the presenter. And we use these tools extensively in the user group. Now, also from a corporate perspective, I find that a lot of corporations that I go to are excited about Breeze because Flash is approved, an approved application. Those of you in a corporate environment know that you can only use approved application. Getting WebEx approved or other sort of applications approved are very, sometimes very, very hard. And they simply love it. They use it all the time. My clients use it all the time. I use it in my business to talk to other developers, to have Breeze sessions, whiteboard sessions, and I think there's only good things that are going to come from Breeze.
Yeah, I'd agree that both Breeze and podcasting is a great addition to things, and it's no substitution for getting together with other people. I hope it comes a day when the interaction you can have over the internet with someone is as great as interacting with them in person, but still you don't quite get the full communication. So for me, I still need to go to a user group, still need to meet people and do that, and supplement that with podcasts and Breeze things. And we've been doing a weekly Breeze broadcast, CF Live. How many people have been tuning into that? A few folks, yeah. So we're going to continue that throughout the rest of the year. Steve Urapp from Adobe, I don't know if he's here. I want to thank him for organizing that. Apparently, he's now running the largest user group in the world. He has 700 members who come into his online user group, which CF Live is part of. So it is a great way to reach people who can't come to a physical meeting.
Two things also that I just want to add. One of them, which isn't so related, but just for those of you who have emailed me or commented on my blog about wanting us to Breeze the Flex user group that we run here in DC, I'm happy to say we today basically figured out, you know, decided we are definitely going to start doing that. So real soon, that's going to be happening. But then beyond that, you know, thinking about podcast, you know, first it was blogs, and actually, you know, people started harassing me back in like '98. About, you know, where's your blog, get a blog, da-da-da, and I just, you know, I was like, eh, that's not going to happen, it's, you know, nobody's going to want a blog, you know, and then 2-3 years later, I realized, oh, yeah, maybe I really should do that, and then I've done the same thing with podcasts. Like, now my company's trying to get me to podcast, and I've been very like, oh, I don't know if that's going to work, is it something people really care about, you know, and I know people will and do, so actually what I'm looking at doing, just for, you know, so you guys know, how many of you have paid attention to what Jeremy Lehrer's doing over at Bright Cove? Few of you, is this like, you know, internet TV thing where you can actually do your own thing? That's actually what my big plan is. I'm going to skip the whole podcast thing. I'm going to go right to video. And yeah, I'm going to start actually putting together channels that you can just come up and you can actually just, I'll just teach class, kind of, just whatever I feel like talking about and teaching in video format. And I'm planning to use his system to do that. But and I'll continue to blog because I think RSS feeds and things like that are useful, extraordinarily useful, but you know, I think ultimately you're going to see a lot more people using video as well as audio at some point to do this stuff. I'm hoping to do it sooner rather than later. But anyway, what other questions do we have? Yeah, Larry, what's up?
Now the debate over the fact that the frameworks are good has been won. What does the team think is the best framework?
So the question is, what do you think is the best framework? I'm not going to comment on this one. I'm going to turn my microphone off, sit down over here, and go ahead.
I'll be happy to comment. if it's not obvious already, I definitely love Model Glue. So, I tried Mach 2. I probably need to give it more of a look because at the time I was a bit too busy. But Model Glue is just what stuck with me. Yeah, there you go. That was totally unintentional. But yeah, so I would say Model Glue.
Another debate for another day. I'm sorry, Kevin. That question is sort of like which country's money is the best.
Which one is it?
Which one is it? Yeah. What day is today? Let's see. This is a question that often gets asked, and particularly in the form of how can I convert a given application from one framework to another, which I think really is sort of a specious question. The decision regarding framework selection has more to do with the people, the person or the team doing the selecting, than anything else. The various frameworks are really based on and shaped around different approaches to application development. So the decision is really based on whether you're a more procedurally oriented or object-oriented sort of team and the types of things that you want to do as opposed to, you know, what is the project. So which one's the best? I'm not answering that question. which one do you want to choose, I think, is probably the better question. Which one's the worst? Not having one.
I don't want to start the discussion again, but I actually disagree with his comments. A lot of times, frameworks are just too much, especially for small applications where you're going to spend a lot of time trying to figure out the framework rather than figure out the business logic in the application. However, if you ask me if I do like a certain framework over the others, the answer would be probably Model Glue. I've played with Mach 2, Fusebox for a very long time, and Model Glue, at least if you haven't looked at Model Glue, definitely is worth another look. But there are some applications, believe it or not, where a framework will just take way too much time and hinder you actually from using Cold Fusion the way it's supposed to, just as something quick to get things done. So again, the political answer is it depends. It depends what you're trying to do.
Well, I'd agree that it's always better to have some framework than no framework. The way I look at frameworks, it's sort of like some people write their code to be it's a little messy. I know I've written code that's been a little spaghetti-like. And it's sort of like, you know, if you have a desk with the papers on it, as the way of a filing system, you can always find the papers yourself. But if someone else on your team wants to find them, they can't. And a framework is sort of like a filing cabinet, a filing system for your code. So does it matter what filing system you use? Well, probably it does. If your organization is organized one way, you want to organize your files a certain way. But it's certainly much better that you have a filing system, that you use a framework, than not using one at all. If I had to pick, personally, I'm going to pick Fusebox, partly because it's the one I started with, so I know it best, but also because it's got the largest community out there and it's got the most books on it. So when I bring a new team member onto that, you know, I can just say, hey, read this book, and then they're up to speed. If they've got questions, there's a large amount of people they can ask questions about. So that's my pick.
I just want to argue with Shlomi for one thing. I definitely agree that if I'm doing a guest book, Model Glue is going to be way out there. But I've never had a project shrink. I've had plenty of them go big. So I think sometimes doing the extra work may in the end be worthwhile. Sometimes, anyway.
Yeah, Shlomi, be careful what you say on this topic. I can tell you from experience, it's a very slippery slope to walk. anyway, what other questions do we have?
Yeah.
Me? You want my... no, I mean, actually, I've got to agree with Jeff. It really depends on what you want. There is no right, you know. That's like asking me what's the best programming language. I'm not going to say Cold Fusion. Depends on what you want to do. I mean, there's some things I wouldn't use Cold Fusion to do. I mean, if I'm generating lots of Word docs or something, I'm probably going to use a Microsoft, you know, technology to do that. You know, I just happen to usually end up using Cold Fusion for everything I do. But that's not to say that it's the best thing for everything, you know. I mean, it really always does depend on what you're trying to do. You know, if I want to get something built fast, Cold Fusion's always going to be the thing I use, no matter what I'm trying to do, because I can always do it faster there. Frameworks... I mean, yeah, it really does depend on what you're trying to do. I mean, you know, if you're going to use a framework, which one is best? I don't know. I mean, you know, I'm certainly no expert in all of them. I've started poking around at Model Glue, and actually I think some of what it does in there is kind of cool. You know, looks like a neat framework. I liked Mach 2. I thought Mach 2 was very cool. Just as something to rip up and kind of play with and look at. You know, I didn't do any big production implementations with it. You know, there were some really neat ideas in there, and I did like that, you know. I always tell people I thought Fusebox was cool, like, in terms of what it was trying to achieve back when we didn't have CFCs. You know, I just didn't like the way it tried to achieve it, but I liked that it tried to achieve certain things. You know, and it's really just pick your poison. The emphasis on poison! No. Anyway. Now, what other questions do we have? Oh, we had one right here. Ooh, okay, so if you're building an application that uses Ajax, for those of you who've done it, which Ajax framework do you use and why? I'll go ahead and immediately say I think Spry is awesome. I think Spry does some really neat stuff. It's still a little young and immature. I mean, there's still more stuff that needs to be in there, but that's a very cool framework, I think. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, I've not given a fair look at the ones that are out there built in Cold Fusion, so I've not fairly looked at them, but I really, really like Spry. I've not seen anything as quite as simple as, I mean, literally like 2 minutes. I downloaded it. A few months later, it was working. I mean, you can't beat that. And I spent more time worried about making the XML than the actual JavaScript. So,
this may wind up being a unanimous answer here. We have discussed, Hal and I, on a series of the podcasts now, various libraries and AJAX alternatives that are out there. And we got hold of Spry, and it was sort of, wow, this is such a completely different approach from everything else that's been done in the AJAX world so far. And it's primarily because the mindset that was the origin of Cold Fusion, the simple approach to do something effective, is the same basis that was applied to putting together the concept behind Spry. So Adobe's approach, if you read the How It Came to Be stuff that's on the Spry page at Adobe Labs, talks about wanting something that will allow designers and everybody else that's involved in web development to tap into the power of AJAX. And so it's that same kind of mindset that let all of us from all of these different kinds of industries that got into Cold Fusion development get into doing web applications. Well, now we can get into AJAX with a very similar mindset, and you'll find if you download it and give it a try that it will just feel very familiar to you. So one more vote for Spry.
Ditto. Only thing I can say is, Ray, it took me 1 minute to finish the application.
Yeah, 58 seconds.
How many of you have actually played with Spry, just out of curiosity? Okay. Anybody here play with it and not like it? Yeah, I didn't think so. It's cool.
Stones.
Yeah, you should play with it.
All right.
Michael, did you have anything else to add or no?
No.
Nope. Okay. Other questions? Nobody has a question for the panel? Over where? Where am I going? Okay.
There's a lot of buzz about Web 2.0 and how it's changing everything. I was just curious.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Crystal ball time.
Crystal ball time, that's right. All right, so the question is, we've all kind of heard about Web 2.0 and there's Web 2.0 buzz, all that stuff. What do you guys think websites are going to look like 5 years from now?
I have no idea. I have no idea. So, seriously, I know that they keep saying that the mobile thing will be here. I know it's everywhere else but here, and every year they say, oh, next year it's America. I'm hoping in 5 years, maybe, then it would be here. Outside of that, I guess continuing to provide the experience, and so that's just BS. Just doing what it does now. I mean,
the old macromedia marketing guy in you. Experience.
The web allows you to do stuff, and we're getting better at that. So hopefully we'll continue to get better at that. I don't think we'll have the neural implants yet, although I'll be the first one in line for that.
Right. Yeah, you just can't answer this question. I was doing an interview with someone earlier this week and talking about things that we're doing today and how has the web changed what we can do today in terms of commerce, in terms of learning, in terms of so many different things. And every one of the cases that I talked about were things that we just did not even imagine 5 years ago. So what are we going to do 5 years from now? I have no idea, but it will be more information and more delivery and more everything. What direction it goes probably depends a lot on us in this room. So,
Again, I mean, apart from smell-o-vision or something like that, it's really, really hard to predict what the web will look like. But one thing that's definitely coming is standards and some serious standards, because today, I think after a couple of years of being a web developer, I can see that there are standard ways of showing information, interfacing, etc. And those are becoming the norm. Rather than in 2098, we were still struggling with figuring out how do we show a form, or how do we show a record set on the web. And I think that a lot of the new tools that are coming out there are using those standards, especially Flex. And it's just going to be an evolution of those standards, as far as I'm concerned.
I think that actually there'll be some new technology out. If you look back over the years, you know, we went from mainframes, then we went to PCs, and all of these and then to client server, and then we went to the web. And those technologies lasted maybe 5 or 10 years each when they were at their peak. So the web started, you know, well, it depends when you want to count the date, but it became popular about 7 or 8 years ago. Obviously, it's existed for longer than that. But I think there'll be some other technology that takes over. So I think actually the web pages will still be fairly similar to how they are today, but there'll be some other technology that people use. Just like client-server apps. If you were at a client-server app conference 10 years ago and someone had asked this question, well, yeah, the client-server app's going to do this and that, and they totally missed that the web was going to come along. So I'm sure we're all totally missing that something else is going to come along, and I'm looking out for it just like you are. So as soon as I see it, I'll let you know. But
yeah, I agree with Michael as well. Websites in 5 years... You know, it's going to be about, you know, things like the promises of Central. When Central was released, those promises being realized, you know, with Apollo, you know, which Adobe has started, Mac Media started showing off and talking about a little bit about a year ago. I think that, you know, this idea of a web OS, a real integrated experience where it's you don't know if it's a desktop thing you're looking at or if you're watching TV or if it's something from the web, you know, or, you know, local. It's all going to be integrated. It's all going to be able to talk. It's going to be on all your devices, right? It's not just going to be on a screen. It'll be on your phone and on your this and on your that, and eventually we'll be able to plug in, you know. But yeah, I think that's really where we're going to be going. I mean, I think that's
glasses.
That's right. It'll be in your glasses. It'll be it'll be wherever you want it to be, probably. But I mean, I think that's really where it's going to go.
No comment.
Other question? Yeah.
What is your favorite blog that you read personally?
Ooh, that's a good question. What's your favorite blog that you read? And don't say your own.
There's one called Damn Interesting, and it's the weirdest stuff, like about the Japanese soldier who was marooned for 40 years. He thought he was the war was going on. Very, very subjects that are damn interesting.
I have to admit that I don't spend a whole lot of time reading blogs. One of the ones that I get to most frequently is Sean's. So, Mr. Corfield, thank you for your efforts. There's a podcast that amuses me no end, and unfortunately, as many of you whose names I've tried to remember this week have witnessed, I can't remember the name of it for the life of me, but if you go to any of the pod collection sites and search on movies, it's two guys that talk about movies, and the fun thing about it is neither one of them really seems to know much about what they're talking about, which really appeals to me, because like they forget names of actors and they say, oh yeah, there was the guy that was in what, and you know, it's just sort of like, you know, visiting with old friends or just having a good time. So it's just, that's sort of the thing that appeals to me.
I think one of my favorite blogs is Joe Ospolsky, who gave the keynote here last year. He's a very, very interesting guy. Talks a lot about software development. Of course, Ray at Camden Family, again, daily. And in general, usually I use Fool as a Goog and the MXNA to just, I don't really know where it's coming from. I just read the blogs there.
Well, I got to have to say the blog I read the most is Joel's on software, which is what Shlomi was saying. It doesn't come out that often, but when he has something to say, it's usually worth reading. And the other thing about blogs, I just noticed, I got a TiVo about a year ago, and I suddenly noticed they've got a blog thing where you can monitor blogs on TiVo, which to me indicates blogs have definitely become way too popular.
I think we got time for that I like to read. I do read Joel's. I like Joel's blog, Joel Spolsky's. I read a lot of blogs, but I really like, from time to time, I see posts that I really like from CNET. They have a Web 2.0 blog. I've been following a lot of that stuff, the services-oriented stuff they talk about. I find interesting. For CF development, God, there are a lot of good blogs. I mean, there are certain people I always pay attention to what they say when it's Cold Fusion related, right? 24 and all that. But anyways, some of the stuff you write, I do follow what Hal says very closely when he blogs. Roby Sen, if you guys don't read Roby's blog, if you're into performance tuning servers, his blog is one you do not want to miss. There are a bunch of guys, though, that are writing a lot of good stuff out there, really. And Shlomi's as well. Shlomi, you've blogged some interesting stuff.
One thing I want to add, a little self-promotion. We just started the CF Guru blog on cfguru.org.
Oh,
it's some blogs from the internal mailing list of the CF Guru. So please go there.
I think we have time for one more question, Michael. We got time for one more. So yeah.
Well, I'm just wondering if you have best guess on your personal feeling about how quickly and how deeply flights develop and penetrate.
Very good question. What are your feelings about how quickly and how deeply Flex is going to penetrate the market in general, or could the Cold Fusion web development?
I think certainly a lot faster now that the price is a bit lower.
a little bit.
And certainly the ease of use is definitely there. The old server, I mean, it you could install it, obviously, but I always had trouble with it. And now it's, you know, you have the IDE, you build it, and you just send it out. So it's easier, it's cheaper. I really think it'll grow pretty quickly because of that. There'll be two more sites with Flex. No, I think obviously the price was the biggest barrier. The language was always, I thought, pretty easy. I think it's a bit easier now. The server was, I thought, a bit hard to install. Now that's not as much of a problem. So those barriers are gone. So, I mean, there's no reason not to download it and start playing with it. Just don't go crazy with it. I forget who said, you know, don't use Flex. I mean, don't use it everywhere. You know, put some thought into what makes sense for it, but there's no reason now not to. You can't say, oh, it's so much money. It's free. So take a look at it. You know.
Yeah, I'll just kind of reinforce the point about don't go crazy real quick. Who remembers when desktop publishing first came out and everybody had access to fonts, and all of a sudden letters started looking like ransom notes, right? Or early HTML and the blink tag. So just, you know, be a little patient and careful with what you're doing. Other than that, I just I'm really excited about having the IDE available and moreover the ability to experiment on the desktop cheaply just opens so many avenues for people that didn't exist before. So more and better. How many? Who knows?
Just to add to that, I think we're about to have an explosion of Flex applications just because we're already seeing a shortage of Flex developers in the Northeast. A lot of companies are trying to get their hands on Flex developers, offering them a lot of money, and I think it's actually a very natural transition for a CF developer to develop in Flex. Much easier for us than for an ASP developer or a traditional Java developer. You know, they were snickering at us a couple of years ago, oh, tag-based development, who does that, right? And guess what? We're all using tag-based development now. So for CF developers, this is natural, and there's a lot of money in Flex right now. So follow the money.
I told you Shlomi's a smart guy.
I'm sure there'll be a dramatic growth in Flex, and I've certainly seen that there's a lot of demand for people programming in Flex. But if you look at the absolute numbers, I mean, there were about 1,000 Flex servers out last year, I think, is what I heard. So, and how many hundreds of thousands of Cold Fusion instances are there? So it's got a way to catch up. So it's probably accelerating a lot faster than Cold Fusion is, but it'll be a lot of time before there's more Flex than there is Cold Fusion.
I don't know whether that's true or not, but I mean, I will answer the question as well. How many of you went to Minimax last year? One or two of you. Remember what I said when I stood up and I was talking? Right? I was actually showing off Flex and Flash. I told you this time next year you would all know me as Simon the Flex guy. The reason now that hasn't quite happened, I mean, I'm still a big, you know, I do a lot of CF stuff. I can tell you that I've spent the last 8 weeks, 8 or 9 weeks, the only consulting I've been doing through About Web has all been Flex work. Flex is going to be massive. I've been saying it for a while. I know it's going to be massive. It's not just because of the pricing being, you know, making it more accessible. I think the performance alone, when people start seeing what apps get that get compiled and running in a Flash 9 environment, how much faster those run, it's sick. I mean, it's really insane. You know, there are better UI components there. Performance is insane now. There's not much reason not to use Flex. I think when you see when Apollo and you have platforms where your Flex apps aren't even just on the web, where you're able to put them in other environments as well, when you're able to, you know, to reach out to other markets like, you know, mobile, you know, users and stuff like that using it, you know, I mean, Flex is going to, it's going to snowball. You know, not just with CF developers, we're going to see a lot of Java developers. I hope we see .NET developers using it. I hope we see a lot of developers doing it. If enough people decide to start using it, it's going to be radical how much the web is going to change. I mean, there's a lot of cool stuff you can do with Flex. Very cool stuff, right? Anyway, I think that's all the time we have, right, Michael? All right, well, we'll be raffling, we're giving away stuff. What are you doing? thanks for coming to the conference, guys. Actually, last year, while before I turn over the microphone again, I did this last year. I'm going to do it again. I just want to thank Michael and Liz and the folks at TerraTech. You know, I mean, you guys did a great job putting on a very great show again this year. Yeah, you did. This was awesome, as usual. I was really happy to see Adobe here showing their support. That was great, too. But I'm looking forward to next year. Well, I'm looking forward to tomorrow but as well. But, you know, thanks for doing it again this year.
Great. Thank you, Simon. And we will be here tomorrow at 8 a.m. So I know
you'll be here at 8 a.m.
Yeah, I'll be here at 8 a.m.
I'll be here about 10 a.m.
So there are a lot of things to see in this area. For those of you who are out of town, we're right next to the metro here, and we're only half an hour from D.C. if you want to go out in D.C. Simon knows all the hot and unusual spots in D.C. So, was on? Yeah. Yes. No, you can put things in. If you haven't put your thing in, now's a good time to do it. Also, some people have asked me, you know, where and when is this event next year? It is going to be at this hotel again. So, yeah, we really like the you know, being very friendly here, and it's a very convenient location. Also, the dates, it'll be the same basic week, which is the week before the 4th of July. So I believe that would be the 26th through the 30th, if I'm calculating dates. Hmm? And better wireless. Yeah, we talked to them a lot about getting better wireless. And book more rooms. We sold out this whole hotel. So they are actually building another tower onto this hotel, but I don't know it'll be completed for next year. So, and if you have other suggestions, feel free to come see me or Liz, or if you write them on your surveys or email us. We're always listening because that's how we've improved this event, by people giving us feedback. So we already know that the wireless needs to be improved. I think, to be honest, they're used to conferences here where not everyone has a laptop and they're technically savvy.
Hey, Mike, what does this mean? You want to mention about the DVDs? I know you've been recording the sessions.
Oh, sure. I'll mention that. Well, first let me mention, also, there were some problems people had with parking. So some of you who did park may notice there is no charge on the parking today, and there won't be a charge tomorrow. And that's because there were a few snafus people had, so the hotel did a make-up on that. So... that's why that. And then Simon was asking about the recording of the sessions. You're all going to get an audio recording of all the sessions. We're going to mail that to you after the event. That's included in your admission. If you're interested in the video recordings, yeah. So... yes.
CD for CF United goes into your slot drive and
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
I know at least two MacBook Pro owners who now have the ATF United CD fixture. You might want to try it in a non-slot load CD drive.
Okay, thanks for... Thanks for that feedback, Sean. I wasn't aware of that. So we'll, but the CDs we did last year were done on a low run thing, so we'll probably get them duped at a higher level because we've got more to send out, and hopefully that will avoid that problem. But if it doesn't, let us know, and we'll address it. Anyway, talking about the video, that's available to all attendees. It costs $200 to get all the sessions. There's about 60 hours of sessions, and then you can stream it anytime you want to. So we'll email you about that. It will be available, I believe, in about 3 weeks. They've got to edit it, and the format we're providing it in, it's not just the video. It's going to sync to the PowerPoint and the code samples that were being shown. So that's what we're doing. Okay. Well, I think we have some stuff to give away, and I know some of the people here have things they have to go to, right? So.
Yeah. I have something to go for. You
should be rid of me. You said you were going to... Oh, Simon. Okay, what do we have to give away? Thank you, guys. Oh. What are we going to give away?
Do you want to talk about what we're giving away?
Yeah, so why don't we draw some things? We've got several things. We've got raffle tickets.
Do you want to pick what you're going to give away before we draw the name first? Like the one.
Sure, let's give away some books. I'm not... Okay, so, what is it? So this is Chris Malinson. So
if you can help with giving these out. Yeah.
So these are copies of Ben Forder's Advanced Macromedia Cold Fusion MX7 development, kindly given us to us by Peach Pit Press. And this is David Ferranzio. I'm just going to keep reading the names. So, Agruni Mehta. Yes. Ooh. And this is someone who forgot to fill out their name. That's you. Oh, okay. Santish Morpur. Nelly Salatova. Okay. Don Bellinger. Howard Four. Just keep doing the books for now. Andy Fox. Julie Gamauchi, Dave Dinsdale, Rick Law, Mike Torrentino, Romit Das. Okay, are we out of books yet? We've got more books. We got some more books on the end. Yeah. Jimmy Morris. Slightly different Ben Forder books. This is his Certified Developer Study Guide. So if you're doing the certification, that's a great book to read. Andrew Anun, I think if I'm saying your name right. Andrew Anun. Heath Morrison. Damon Gentry. Michael Sewell. And Peter Morrison. Okay. Let's give some software away. Wow. Got a Adobe Creative Suite 2 Premium. Wow. Ooh. Okay. So this is Dwan Pearson, if I'm saying your name right. Dwan Pearson? No. Going once. No. Grant Carlin? Woo! Okay, now we have an Adobe Web Bundle, Studio 8. Whoa, contains Dreamweaver 8, Flash 8, Fireworks 8, Contribute 3, and Flash Paper 2. And some other stuff. So, Stephanie Hine. Where's she here? Grammy Aspekman. Oh, my God. Alice Henderson. Okay, and having given out those exam study guides, now we've got a copy of the CFMX Exam Buster from Centrasoft. So I don't know if any of you, how many of you got certified, but if you're doing that for Cold Fusion, this is a great way to test your skill. And Kivu Patel. And Tim Kujiko.
We're also giving this away and definitely call the business card in order to get it.
Okay. Now we've got a call. I don't know how many of you folks checked out the Straker booth, the guys from New Zealand. They're giving away a copy of their Shadow CMS. So that's a neat product. And Charles Chen. Yep. Got another one of these exam busters to give out. So who's this? That's Nate Conroy. And let's give out another exam book as well. Matthew Heinz. Here, Matthew? No? Okay. How about Kirby Hogan? Hogan. I'm saying your name right. No? Cole Barksdale? Yeah. Oh, I've got something here from CF Dynamics. Free dedicated hosting for 6 months. Wow, valued at over $1,000. Okay. And Willeen Hendon? Yes. Ooh. Do you want me to... Do you want to pick something else? Come pick... Something else, and we'll pick Keith Brandt. There you go, Keith. Okay, how about some Cold Fusion software? Yeah. Wendy Tang. We've got a copy of Cold Fusion MX7 Standard Edition. Congratulations, Wendy. There's this Xbox thing here. It's some kind of software, I hear. Okay. Liz Faulkner. You hear Liz? Liz Faulkner? No? Okay. Greg Kronknight. All right. We have some games you can put on here. Ages of Empires and some kind of racing game. You probably know about these, right? Okay. So, Wally Randall. And David Jones. and Han Theory, and Lisa LaPlaza, and Henry Rosenman III, and Tom Eldridge, and Sunil Kaldeveru, and B.T. Thielman, and Kimberly Gottineau. I apologize if I'm mangling your names. One more Xbox game. Scott Materni. Kent Runyon. Okay, now we have some great books from Peach Pit. We've got Bulletproof Web Design, and what else do we have?
Prioritizing web usability by some people that I don't want to slaughter their names. So, access by design. Don't make me think. Common sense approach to web usability. Designing with web standards. More don't make me think. Practices of an agile developer. Agile web development with Rails. Pragmatic Ajax and enterprise integration with Ruby.
Okay, so when you come up, you pick the book you want to get. So Tanitya Larovova. Chris Keane. Damon Gentry. Daniel Kiefer. Maggie Earl Ranway. If I sing, yep. John Allred, Rob Gonda, Anne-Marie Havid, Matthew Olson, Joshua Rivera, Andy Fox, Kristin Ratowalski. How are we doing? Jeannie Springman. Okay, we've got some more books, I guess. Sheldon Fishman. Jean Rice. Rebecca Rosales. So let's give away a few more books, and then we've got the final software to give away. In fact, what's this here? Savvy Content Manager, some more software. 1 to 5 years of license. Laura Hittelbrand. one of those. Wally Randall. Wait a minute, you were picked already. You already got one. Okay. Philip Seen. A few more books. Judy Price. Nelson Johnson. Ryan Hartwich. Now we've got some more great Adobe software. We've got the Adobe Creative Suite 2 Design Bundle. It's got Photoshop, Illustrator, InDesign, Go Live, and Acrobat Professional. So, ooh. David Logwood. Yeah. Okay, now we've got a copy of Adobe Video Bundle, and that has After Effects, Adobe Premiere Pro, Photoshop, Adobe Audition, Encore, and Illustrator. So you can create your whole movie experience with this. And that's Jeff Self. Okay, what do we have left? Oh, okay. I think he got the other one. Oh, well, never mind. Oh, they're the same? Okay. So another copy of that is for Chris Kenworthy. Not here? Okay. Karen Crowley. Karen Crowley? No? Yes? So it looks like we've got two copies of Cold Fusion left. So, okay, David Epler. Woo! And Cheryl Black. Okay, well, I want to thank you all for coming this year. Have a safe and enjoyable evening. See you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening, and we hope we will see you at CF United 2007. This has been a production by TerraTech Programming. For more information, go to www.cfunited.com.